If you want to open your Bibles back up to Ephesians chapter 1, last couple of times I've spoken, I've been in Ephesians chapter 1, and if this were to be a mini-series, I guess you could call it different blessings that we have because of our inheritance. Blessings that we have because of our inheritance in Jesus Christ. So I'm going to read again I'll skip the first two verses, but I'll read verses 3 through 14 again of Ephesians chapter 1. Remember verse 3, starting in verse 3, Paul is eulogizing the Lord. He is eulogizing Jesus Christ. He is celebrating, praising Jesus for these wonderful spiritual blessings that we have. Verse 3, and this is Paul speaking to the saints of Ephesus. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of the glory of his grace. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. And remember, that whole thing I just read was one sentence of Paul just eulogizing the Lord. Let me read 13 and 14 as well. So, that we need to be to the praise of the glory of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So, in verse 14, when Paul says that these blessings, all of these blessings that we have in Christ as the elect children of God, it is our eternal inheritance, but it's also the earnest of our inheritance. So we can actually enjoy these blessings now. And that word earnest means, I think it's araboam or araboam. It's a Greek word, and it means an engagement ring. So isn't that really neat? It's like we are, if we could say that Jesus has given us an engagement ring that is just as good, basically, as what it will be when we get to glory. But we're not glorified yet, so we still have our sin-cursed, our dual nature, our sin-cursed nature that we still struggle with. But what gets us through is that earnest of our inheritance. And how do we enjoy the earnest of our inheritance is obviously by loving the Lord, by reading in his word, by seeing all these blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. And so one of the blessings that we have because of this earnest of our inheritance, this engagement ring, he has promised that we will be with him in glory, is prayer, is the ability to be able to pray. It is a duty, but it's also a privilege to be able to pray. And you know, I know I take that for granted. I know I take that for granted because sometimes I do. I just feel like I'm just whispering in thin air and just whispering into space to something who I can't see. And can he really hear me? Is he really listening? Or is this just some ritual I've grown up doing because I've been brainwashed or something like that? Well, you know what? It is an inestimable privilege and blessing to be able to pray to the thrice holy God. And I believe, and turn to Isaiah chapter 6, please. Isaiah chapter 6. I believe to really appreciate the blessings that we have of our inheritance and right now specifically, the blessing that we are able to pray is that we have to realize what great sinners we are and what all that we deserve, even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. All that we deserve is nothing short of damnation, nothing less than damnation. And even Isaiah, as we'll see in Isaiah chapter 6, I just finished reading the book of Isaiah. It was wonderful. Isaiah was a godly man. He was a prophet of the Lord. Many, I believe the most messianic prophecies, the prophecies that prophesy to the coming Christ are in the book of Isaiah. He was a righteous man. He was a godly man. But listen to what Isaiah, when he compares himself to the presence of a holy God, listen to Isaiah's reaction to himself in contrast with the presence of God. We'll just read the first five verses of Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Isaiah is seeing the glory of Christ here. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Now let's look at Isaiah's reaction to this amazing sight of this holy, holy, thrice holy God. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Why? For mine eye, or how am I seeing this? For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah got a glimpse of God as high and lifted up, and his reaction, himself, his carnal presence, in contrast with this holy, holy, holy God, he said, Woe is me. Woe is me. The word woe is almost like pronouncing a curse. It is a passionate, almost a curse in the Hebrew. And so basically, like I said, I believe it's in Isaiah where it says, Woe unto them that call good evil and evil good. Well, what is Isaiah saying about himself? Woe is me, for I am undone. I have a dirty mouth. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So I mentioned that just so that maybe we will get a clearer picture of just who we are in and of ourselves. In and of ourselves, who we are undone people. We are undone. It says in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, You have been quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. We are dead by our nature, completely dead. I know we have been having this told to us since probably the day we were born, but we really are dead. We're not sick. We're not hurt. We are completely dead in our sins. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. It's like the pig in the mud. We are wallowing in the mud and we love it. We enjoy it by our nature. So we are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked, this is our old nature, according to the course of this world. We enjoy the worldly pleasures, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Kids, the prince of the power of the air, that's talking about Satan, the devil. We were by nature children of Satan. That's kind of scary when you get to thinking about it. We were walking according to the prince of the power of the air. And the only thing, or the only one, that could give us presence, give us access, give us all access, 24-hour access to this thrice holy God is a mediator. A mediator. Since it's Wednesday night, Elijah or Ellie, do y'all know what a mediator is? Do you have any idea? There you go, Brother Ricky. You get the gold star. It is a go-between. A mediator is one who intervenes between two in order to make peace and friendship. So, let's say Harris and Roy have an argument, and they're really at each other's throats. Jamie's sitting in between them. Jamie comes up and tries to make peace between them, tries to, you know, it's okay, Roy, calm down. Harris, you know, maybe call Kiki. Kiki, calm Harris down. Jamie is the mediator. She is trying to make peace between these two who are at enmity or against, hostile toward each other. It also says we were once in our carnal nature were enmity against God. That means directly hostile towards God. Directly opposed or hostile towards God in our nature. So we need this mediator, this mediation, this go-between that would intervene between lowly man and holy God to make peace between us. And praise God, we know that mediator, that go-between is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has purchased our access to the Father by His atoning blood. An atoning blood or a covering. He has covered our sins by His blood. It says in Hebrews that there would be no remission of sins or a removal of sins without the shedding of blood. Jesus shed His mediatorial blood for our sins, and because of that, we have access to the Father. And I hope we all will really take into account that when we do pray, and we should pray often, that we will really, hey, this is a privilege. It is a duty, but this is an amazing privilege that we have, access to this thrice holy God because we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9, verses 11 through 15, it's talking about the blood of Christ and it's talking about Jesus as our mediator. It says, and I'll just have to kind of break into the context here, but Christ, being come in high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. This is an old favorite, y'all. This is a standard. This is because it's true. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood. This is talking about Jesus Christ. By His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Amen. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? That we have a mediator. So because of that, we do. We have access. We have access to the Father. So what should we do? My first thought is, it should make us all, I say randomly, not really randomly, but break forth into these doxologies that Paul does in the New Testament. Every now and then, I pray that the Holy Spirit will get a hold of us, myself, just as much as anybody, and just break forth and thank you, Lord. Thank you that I can even do this, that I have the desire to do this, because by nature, I follow the prince of the power of the air, Satan. So, I just want to just maybe go over three scriptures, not incredibly organized, but just go over three scriptures about prayer and how we should be now as this access to the Father has been purchased. And we'll go to Hebrews again, Hebrews chapter 4. And I have my timer right in front of me, so y'all don't worry. Alright, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, and this is talking about the Jesus as our high priest. And actually, let's go ahead and read 14 through 16. Jesus, the great high priest. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast or cleave unto our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. So we know that what it's saying is, isn't it called a double negative when it says we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities? That means he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. So because of this, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Come boldly. You know what layman's terms, what boldly means? It means to let it all hang out. Let our hair down. It means unreservedly is what boldly means. We can come unreservedly to this thrice holy God. It means to come without concealment or without reservation of speech is what that word boldly means. And that right there, remember we talked about this being a privilege? That right there is a command. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace at time of need. What does it talk about in Hebrew, in Ephesians chapter 2 after it lists the sins that or our state as we are dead in trespasses and sins? We are walking according to the course of the world, the prince of the power of the air. And then finally it says, but God, who is rich in mercy. So we come boldly to Him. We will obtain mercy. We will find grace to help in time of need. Now, that mercy that we find, it may not be exactly what our carnal natures were wanting. You know, there's the old country song that says, I thank God for unanswered prayers. I know what the guy's saying, but there really is no such thing as an unanswered prayer, if you think about it. God's going to answer our prayers. He may say no. He may say not right now. He may say, I want you to wait. I'm testing you. But there is no such thing as an unanswered prayer. We will obtain mercy. We will obtain mercy when we come boldly to the Lord. I love that. I hope that is an encouragement. Verse 15, where it says that we have this high priest who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Let me find this real quick. Yes, okay. It also says about Jesus, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted and is able to succor, S-U-C-C-O-U-R, them that are tempted or tested. You know what that word succor means? It's a word of comfort, but it's even a little bit more than that. So let's say Noah, God forbid, falls down and hits his head or something like that, and Roy's in the other room. To succor them, it has the idea of Roy is running after Noah to make sure he's okay. He's not just, oh, it's okay. No, he is running with all his might, with every fiber of his being. He's worried about him. One time, you know, we have the automatic door on our minivan, and so somehow Ada got her finger stuck in the automatic door. And it was awful. The screams were awful. And I felt like Barney Fife when he's trying to, like, I was trying to, well, what am I doing? I was going crazy. It was not a comedy, but of errors. It was just a bunch of errors on my part. Just going crazy trying to get this door open. But I was trying to succor her. I was running after her. That is how Jesus is. That is how our great high priest is for his children. He is able to succor us. So why wouldn't we come to Him? Why wouldn't we come boldly to Him? Let it all hang out unreservedly. One more, and we know this one, or two more. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says to pray without ceasing. And another similar one, Romans 12:12 says to continue instant in prayer. They're very similar. It means to continue instant in prayer means to be constantly diligent or to persevere in prayer, to endure in prayer. A lot of times prayer is really not easy a lot of times, because I have to use my mind, and especially if I have maybe a lot of people I'm praying for, or a lot of things that going on that I'm praying about, is it's not easy a lot of times. You know, who was the missionary to the Indians? David Brainerd, who he was, you know, in his tent and it's snowing, but he is sweating because he's praying all night. I mean, it was that passionate. He was praying all night. And I'm not saying that we may not sweat because we're praying so passionately, but the Bible does say continue instant in prayer, persevere in prayer, pray without ceasing. Basically, the meaning of it is just have a spirit of prayer all the time. Make prayer a habit. Pray without ceasing. Make prayer a habit. And then the last verse that I want to look at is in James chapter 5. And this may be hard to believe for you if by the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit you've come to a knowledge of the faith in Jesus, of faith in Jesus Christ. But you are, in the eyes of this thrice holy God, sinless. You are righteous. You are not guilty. So let's turn to James chapter 5. We are justified. It says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. God the Father sees us through Jesus Christ. God sees His children through Jesus Christ even now as holy and blameless. So, James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. That's another duty. That's another command. Pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual or effective, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Not availeth little, availeth much. John Gill says about this, and I love this. Gill says, not any man's prayer, not the prayer of a profane sinner, for God heareth not sinners, nor of hypocrites and formal professors. Have we ever been hypocritical in our life, in my life? You know, a hypocrite means it's a play actor. Someone who puts on a front, but really is something else, maybe in the behind closed doors. So God doesn't hear hypocrites or informal professors, but of the righteous man who is justified by the righteousness of Christ and has the truth of grace in him and lives soberly and righteously. So it's a lot to live up to, this justification that we have, that we are holy and blameless, but we also, through Jesus Christ, remind ourselves, we can remind ourselves that, hey, God sees me as justified. God sees me as not guilty. So how should I respond? How should I respond to this blessing of my inheritance in Christ? Come boldly to Him. Come boldly, come unreservedly, without concealment. Let our hair down before the Lord. And let me go ahead and pray in closing. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to start off by praising Your name, Lord, for who You are, Lord. You are a thrice holy God, and it is a blessing to be able to even just come before Your presence 24 hours a day, anytime, any place we can come to You. You hear us, Lord. You are everywhere present, nowhere absent. Lord, we thank You that we can come to You because of our go-between, our mediator, Jesus Christ, our high priest, Lord, who is able to succor us, who is able to comfort us in a way that no one else can. Lord, and we know that there are people, all of us do, but we know that there are people probably especially now who need that succoring of Jesus Christ. I pray that You would grant that. I pray that You would go with them. Lord, I pray that You bless us all to be encouraged, Lord, to see ourselves how we truly are without You, but in turn may that cause us to break forth into praise to You, Lord, and may it cause us to reinvigorate our prayer life. Lord, please guide us and keep us. In Jesus' name, amen.